Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update, a run-through of some of the main news that have been making the headlines today. So coming up in the next half hour, the Department of Infrastructure is standing by Ronnesway Airport following fresh scrutiny over its safety and management practices. We're going to bring you part of a powerful and really moving interview with a former prisoner of war. It's ahead of an island life this evening to mark Remembrance Day. And Man in Line has been out and about at Ramsey Grammar School at lunchtime, and students there have been tackling some pretty big topics from island life in general to plans for wind turbines off the east coast. We'll hear from some of them. We'll have the traffic, the travel, the weather as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Fastamai. The Infrastructure Minister says she has full confidence in the airport's senior management team. It's after concerns were raised in the House of Keys about the conduct of the interim airport director. Police are appealing for witnesses following a fight that broke out between two males in Douglas last week. It happened on Regent Street on Monday the 27th of October at around 3:15pm. Douglas City Council has purchased seven new electric vans as part of its fleet renewal programme. The local authority says these will replace ageing diesel models and marks a major milestone in its ongoing commitment to sustainable transport. Garth Commissioners is introducing a street lighting replacement scheme over the next 5 years. The local authority says five or six of its lights will fail every year and can cost up to £800 to fix. And young people are being urged to pick up a whistle and become a referee in Manx football. In the last few years, four teenagers between the ages of 14 and 17 have joined the ranks, with overall numbers more than 50. Further afield, the UK's Justice Secretary says he didn't tell Parliament about the mistaken release of two prisoners yesterday because he wasn't equipped with all the detail.
I was not equipped with all of the detail, and the danger is that you end up misleading the House and the general public. So that is the judgment I took. I think it's the right judgment.
David Lammy repeatedly avoided the question in the Commons. One of the two men wrongly freed from London's Wandsworth jail has handed himself in. The cost of borrowing is being kept on hold. The Bank of England's decided the base rate of interest will stay at 4% there, but it was a close vote and experts think there could be a cut next month. And the King has formally stripped his brother Andrew of his titles. Charles has formally made the changes by issuing letters patent, meaning he can no longer call himself a prince. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So pretty cloudy and dry though to start off with. There will be some outbreaks of rain later this evening. It will become mainly dry overnight. There's still that yellow weather warning for coastal overtopping until 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. The high tide is at 11:49pm. So the areas most at risk of that: Shore Road in Rushen, the usual places, central and northern parts of Douglas Promenade, Castletown Promenade, and to a lesser extent Ramsey and Laxey Proms as well. And then tomorrow, largely cloudy, often dry though. There will be some drizzle at times, mainly for high ground. Moderate to fresh southeast winds and maximum temperatures will be around 14. Sunset tomorrow will be at 4:33 and sunrise in the morning 7:30.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrit Trading Estate.
TE Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cubbon, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5 past 5. So the Department of Infrastructure has come forward in defence of Ronalds Way Airport after questions have been raised about the facility's safety and management procedures. There's an awful lot to this story, and Lewis Foster has the details for us.
We start in 2019, when the airport was first placed under the regulatory enforcement status of special attention by the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Administration. In 2022, matters escalated when Ronalds Way was put on notice. Things improved in May of last year when Ronalds Way was taken back to the less severe special attention status following actions taken by the management team, and that's where it remains. Here's what Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward told Tynwald members last month.
A comprehensive action plan has been drawn up by the airport to address the issues, most of which focus on management and resourcing of the facility. This action plan has been submitted to the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Authority for their review and includes several actions which have been rolled up from those previously submitted and which are already underway. However, there are some longer-term actions which must be carefully managed over several years, with some aspects possibly requiring additional funding, which will need to be secured through the usual departmental processes.
That said, Dr. Hayward couldn't give a timeline for getting the airport out from under that special attention status. Separately, though, air traffic control was placed under special attention status itself in August of this year, following an audit the month before. Minister Hayward told Tynwald at the time that this was due to ongoing and well-documented staffing issues. Manx Radio has been told that this is due to a Level 1 finding, a critical finding that requires immediate and appropriate action and means a major non-compliance was identified during that audit, potentially endangering the public. Flash forward to this week's House of Keys sitting and other matters airport-related have come to the fore, specifically around political oversight of employment matters. A number of backbenchers cited concerns over communication sent to the air traffic control officers by the interim airport director, Jeff Pugh, who's been in the role since Gary Cobb's departure a year ago. But Dr. Hayward gave the senior management team her full support. Well, in the background to all of this come allegations published online and shared with Manx Radio of a toxic culture and claims that legitimate safety concerns were being rebuffed. Manx Radio approached the Department of Infrastructure, which told us this.
Day-to-day operations at the Isle of Man Airport are undertaken safely by teams of qualified, experienced and dedicated staff whose sole focus is ensuring safe operations in partnership with our airlines, operators and third parties. The airport's performance in responding to safety concerns is monitored by the independent safety regulator, the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Administration. Staff members are able and encouraged to report safety concerns using established procedures contained in the airport's safety management system. Any concerns are investigated and followed up internally. Staff members are also able to report concerns directly and, if necessary, confidentially to the Isle of Man CAA. In addition to the airport's established safety reporting procedures, the Isle of Man government's whistleblowing procedures are also available to airport staff as government employees. There are clear mechanisms in place to address protected disclosures, which are independent of the airport.
Siobhan Fletcher ending that report there. Much more to that story. If you go to the Manx Radio website, there are all the details there. There's also a full interview in the newscast section as well. 5:08. We're going to stay with infrastructure because the Minister says her department's actively installing mould-preventing devices in some of its social houses when they become vacant. It's after she was asked in the House of Keys if government had any plans to introduce AWAP's law here on the island. Now, AWAP was just 2 when he died from mould exposure in his social housing flat. And this law means all social housing landlords in the UK now have mandatory timelines for investigating and fixing serious health hazards. Dr. Michelle Hayward says changes to the UK law will always be considered over here.
When reviewing our own housing legislation, the department considers any new legislation or good practice from other jurisdictions. Wider-ranging public sector housing regulation has been recognised as an area in need of development. AWAP's law would naturally be included for consideration and consultation when that work is undertaken. In the meantime, the department hasn't actually waited for regulatory enforcement to ensure social housing provided is of a decent standard. In relation to the management of the Department of Infrastructure's housing stock, where properties show sign of black mould, positive impact ventilation, PIV, systems are installed and usually located in the loft above the top of the stairs. This system helps circulate air throughout the home, improving air quality and reducing the condensation, which is related to the black mould. This system is further helped by trickle vents and extraction units throughout the property. The department has installed 86 such units since 2023, and they are extremely efficient to run, with an annual cost of around £25 per unit. The department's approach is now to install these units as a proactive measure in any two-storey unoccupied property before they are re-let. The department also provides a guide to reducing condensation and mould in your home on its website at www.gov.im/housing, and this is included in all packs that are provided to new tenants. The department has also periodically distributed copies of this guide to its tenants, the last time in autumn of 2023. The department works in collaboration with the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, who continue to apply existing regulations regarding housing standards. Whilst damp and mould are not explicitly mentioned in any of the current regulations, it is an obligation of landlords to provide safe and habitable accommodation, which includes any hazards such as damp and mould that could cause respiratory concerns for tenants and occupants.
Would the Minister agree that we should be looking to make sure that all housing, whether it be private or social housing, is covered by this?
Thank you very much. I agree with the Honourable Member that this should and does extend in terms of providing safe and habitable housing. That also applies to private sector landlords.
That's the DOI Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, who is answering questions in the House of Keys. You also heard there the Peel MHK, Tim Crookall. It's 11 minutes past five, and as I say, Man in Line was out on the road today, heading to Ramsey Grammar School at lunchtime. And the students there were incredible. They discussed a number of topics, from therapy to bullying to Greta Thunberg. And Jemima and Kate discussed their views on the plans to build 87 wind turbines off the east coast of the island.
I do definitely understand why people have qualms about it, because obviously they're very big. They can be potentially an eyesore, and people do really love our island. But at the same time, you know, the world is suffering. Climate change is a really big problem, and we need to work out green energy solutions.
Katie, as well. You live on the east coast, do you, Katie?
Yeah, I live in Ramsey.
What do you think about potentially having these 1,000-foot wind turbines off the east coast?
Well, if it's better for the environment, then I completely understand it. But I don't understand why people would see it as a problem. Like, I get it can be a bit, I wouldn't say ugly to look at, but maybe this is just a personal view, but I find them quite pretty to look at. When I look out the plane, I find them very fascinating. So
I think we get used to them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, everyone gets used to some things. Like, I remember in English literature, we learned about how people found urbanisation and the Industrial Revolution like an ugly thing, but now everyone just gets used to it.
That's interesting, because if somebody said today that we were going to build the Laxey Wheel, everybody'd be up in arms about it. You know, if it didn't exist and we were going to build something that big, there'd be uproar. And that's an enormous thing, and everybody loves the Laxey Wheel now.
Yeah, I think it's because on the island we are very like against change, and I kind of get it because everyone does like the sense of like comfort, but like things do need to change, and like it's for the better, especially with wind turbines. We need that green energy source.
Some incredibly articulate views there from Katie, and before that Jemima. We also heard at lunchtime from Katie and Emily, who shared what the current provision was like about drama in their school.
No, unfortunately that is not. Our drama department is quite lacking.
Because there's a lovely theatre here. I mean, yeah. Emily, has there been a production here in recent times?
Not as of recently. I think the last production that we had here was when we were all in year seven. So we didn't get to take part in it. And I remember being in year six and coming up to watch a show as well, which I thought was incredible and was really excited for. But the drama department just does not have the funds for that. Like, currently, drama teachers wise, English teachers are teaching drama at our school because obviously they have the experience with it. Like, me and Katie have studied plays, so obviously English teachers have done that too, so they can teach bits of drama as well. But yeah, the drama department doesn't have a lot of love at the moment, which is really sad because it's so great on the island in general. Like, there's so many opportunities to do drama and theatre on the island, so doing things starting at your school could really help you get you into those things, which I think could be great. But yeah, it's just a bit sad.
That is Emily, one of the students at Ramsey Grammar School, talking to Andy on The Man in Line at lunchtime. Just to say, we have been in touch with Ramsey Grammar School to see if they want to say anything about the drama provision there. And if you'd like to hear more about the student discussions, you can listen back to the programme at manxradio.com. There's a full podcast there. It's coming up to 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Nothing to report on the police pages, so hopefully all okay on the way home. Still quite a lot of water around, so just take care as you are heading back this evening. Usual lights, temporary lights on Prospect Hill at the moment. That's 24 hours a day for resurfacing. In Onchan, there are temporary lights on the King Edward Road at Port Jack. Again, that's 24 hours a day for street light replacement. And we know the Parliament Street in Ramsey is closed between Parliament Square and West Street. That's still because of that gas leak there. Traffic is able to access the remainder of Parliament Street via West Street, Christian Street and Tower Street, and pedestrian access has been maintained as well. For the full list of all the roadworks, just go to manxradio.com and click on Island Info and then the Traffic and Travel Hub. All okay down at the airport this evening though, with all the flights there. And the latest from the steam packet, the Manxman should be in already. Actually, it was due in at 4:45 and then heading out again for Heysham at 7 p.m.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
OK, so I want to tell you about tonight's Island Life programme now at 5:30. We're going to be hearing from a former prisoner of war who reflects on the experience that she and her family went through. This programme is to mark Remembrance Sunday coming up this weekend. It's an incredibly powerful and moving programme, and it involves Celia Mead, who now lives in Kirkmichael. And I should say, it does cover some issues which some people may find distressing, but it is a heartbreakingly honest account of what she and her family went through. And I think it really reminds us why such events should never be forgotten.
I think sensations, like you say, smells and sounds, they stick in your memory. I can remember the smell of the kerosene burning, the sounds of people crying and screaming, that all that. If I hear a loud siren, I still jump. I think that sort of thing is something you never forget. Sounds and smells that related to a horror still are horrific in your head, in your soul. The smell of the carnage in the aerodrome, I can never forget that. I can never forget the sound of the explosion, watching our house explode, and the car in the drive just bursting into flames and exploding. All that type of memory is etched on my brain.
Is it still daily that you remember these things?
No, you can forget it for days and something happens, just a little memory, something triggers a memory. You can go for months and not think of it. I went for years not thinking of it because I had it instilled into me as a child. You forget it, put that away. And I did, because I didn't want to be different from anybody else. By talking of it, I was different because nobody else had known this, and they'd look at me as though I was an alien or something. And I learned not to talk about it. As an adult, I didn't talk about it. Again, because I didn't fit in if I talked about it. But I said to a friend was talking about the war once, and she said something about the sacrifices of war. And I said, yeah, don't I know about it? I said, starvation. I said, we, there was no food. I tried to talk her into it, and she turned to me and said, we suffered as well, you know. She said, we had rations, food was on ration. And she said, when my father went out, we didn't know if he'd come back again or not. And I thought, I don't need to talk about this because they don't understand. Nobody understands. So I didn't speak of it because nobody understood.
Celia Mead talking to Lewis there. As I said, an incredibly powerful programme. Celia's now in her 80s. She lives over here in Kirkmichael. And again, that full podcast with some extra content will be available on the Manx Radio website shortly after broadcast. 18 and a half minutes past five. Now, one of the biggest topics in football, professionally and at the grassroots level, is abuse towards referees. However, with four young referees training up and joining the ranks in the past few years, have they experienced the same over here? Well, Darren Timpson has been talking to Lachlan, Reese and Kyron and the Isle of Man FA's referee development officer, Liam Thomas.
I think abuse is a big thing in refereeing, but it's just how we support each other through it.
What support is there?
So we can always talk to Liam and other referees referees and just talk about how we manage it.
Have you felt any abuse?
No, I've not. I've been doing it for a little while and nothing's come across really for me. I play football as well as a referee, and I do see a lot of referees do get a little bit of abuse on the pitch. That was also another reason why I came in, just to experience that and just see what it's like for them.
Yeah, I've had some, but it's, yeah, as Karen said, it's how you deal with it and the support you have available.
Would you recommend refereeing to other young people your age?
Yeah, definitely. It's great way to stay involved in football. You know, as I said, keep fit and earn a bit of money, and there's lots of support around it.
It's brilliant. I mean, you can get so much experience, you build your confidence, and you learn how to handle different situations that you probably wouldn't handle in a day-to-day.
From your side, how great is it to see so many young people taking up refereeing?
It's fantastic. You know, there needs to be a future scored amongst football in referee sense. So we've got more junior players playing for junior leagues, so getting more junior referees in shows that, you know, the scope in football is going up, and to secure referees for the future in the game and sustain the game, you know, we need these young referees coming through the game.
How have you found the footballing community towards all four of these young referees? Have you found it positive? Have you had some negative moments?
Overall, it's been really positive. Coaches have really enjoyed having youth young referees come and support youth football. Coaches, being a coach myself, it's hard to do your substitutions, referee the game, try and coach your team as well. So actually to have young referees in the game has been really, really backed by youth football and the junior league. Overall, the feeling has been fantastic. I've not really heard of many negative comments or anything like that. You know, we've got to make sure that referees is sustainable.
That is the Isle of Man FA's referee development officer, Liam Thomas. Before that, we heard from Lachlan Rees and Kyron. Again, more on that story on the sports page at manxradio.com. 20 past five. GAF commissioners are holding a... GAF commissioners are introducing a street lighting replacement scheme over the next 5 years. The local authority says five or six of its lights will fail every year and they can cost up to £800 to fix. Now, it says it'll have a small impact on the rates over the next few years, but they'll ensure the commissioners are being proactive because LED versions will need replacing less often. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to Commissioner Jamie Smith.
So it's across the whole parish, and we have about five or six failures every year that need replacing. They cost around about £800 each, so we do need to budget anyway, but we have a good relationship with Manx Utilities, but they would prefer if we put a scheme in place so that we actually were more proactive rather than reactive, and we replace some of them ahead of time. We could do this over 5 years, we could do it over 10 years, but we have decided tonight that we'll do it over 5 years because the new replacement LED ones use a lot less power and it's a more pleasant lighting for the community.
And it was mentioned in there about them being better for the dark skies. Is that going to be a consideration for you all going forward?
Yes, so we've been asked to double check with the dark skies people because we gather these are all downwards and that we can also, they can be shielded away from if there's a domestic property nearby. So we're very confident that they last longer, they need replacing less, use less power, so there's definitely less on the electricity bill and a more pleasant light in the community.
And will this have any impact on the ratepayers, do you know?
So, as I said before, we do replace some every year, so we're budgeted for being slightly more proactive, and it will have a very small impact on the ratepayers. But these will be going over the next 10 years, they will all have been replaced anyway by necessity. This is purely us being slightly more proactive.
That is GAF Commissioner Jamie Smith, who is talking to our local Democracy reporter, Emma Draper. 22 and a half minutes past five. Now, Ballabeg Chapel is turning into a little slice of wedding history this month. It's hosting a special exhibition of wedding dresses, and it's all to raise money for Hospice Isle of Man. It's been organised by Debbie Kringle from the Friary Farm in memory of her dad, John Tier, from Bride. And there'll be more than 50 wedding dresses on display, along with a few other surprises. Well, our Countryside presenter, Kiri Kermode, sat down with Debbie to find out more.
I know in this house that upstairs we've got our own dresses, Rachel's, mine and Mary's. And then I was going through my mum's and there was mum's and an aunt of mine, Joyce Corkle. To be honest, they were all screwed up in a bag. But knowing our families very well. And then when I looked at all the garments quite intricately, I realised that so much time and effort had gone into these garments, all handmade, and what were we going to do with them? And that was when I thought, actually, we'll display them. And then between my friends or my family, people that have supported. I thought I had 50, but I've actually got 60. If not more.
60, my word. But Debbie, this is going to be a 3-day event from the 14th, 15th and 16th of November. You know, it's no mean feat putting this display on, but it's raising money to a charity that's very close to your heart.
Oh yes, without a doubt. When you mention the word hospice, as everyone knows, the respect and the support on this island that hospice get is second to none. Hospice themselves are amazing. They've given me a lot of stuff to present and a lot of help. The charity shops, I've got the mannequins. And on a personal level, yes, I wanted to do a lot for hospice for my own family, but also through my job. And I see the other side to how hospice support, especially in the home place when families have got their patients at home. So, yeah, I really was determined.
That's Debbie Kringle talking to Countryside's Kiri Kermode there. And as Kiri said, it's a 3-day event, this wedding dress display. The exhibition is on the 14th, 15th and 16th of November. Tickets are £10. No pre-booking required. Just turn up on the day. You can get your tickets on the door. And again, you can find all the details on the Manx Radio website. It is just gone 25 past five. Time for sport now with Darren Timpson. Fast am I.
And starting in motorsport, the Isle of Man will host two rounds of next year's British Enduro Championship. Ramsey Motorcycle Club has announced it will welcome the event to the north of the island on Saturday 4th of July and Sunday 5th July next year. The club say it's really pleased to be able to hold the meetings, adding further details, including accommodation and travel, will be issued in due course. This won't be the first time Ramsey has been a part of the season calendar, having hosted rounds of the championship back in 2023. The 2026 championship will take place over 6 weekends, starting with a Jack Frost 2-day in Rhiada, Wales on the 28th to the 29th of March, and concluding on the 13th of September in Bute, Wales. Further rounds are planned at the Yorkshire 2-day in March, Brefka Enduro in July and Devon in August. In hockey, 5 junior Isle of Man squads are set to travel to England this weekend. They'll be competing in the second round of the England Hockey Championships in the northwest of the country. 3 boys squads and 2 girls teams are set to make the journey. For the boys, the under-14s will face Sandbach, the under-16s will play Timperley and the under-18s are matched against Chester. Meanwhile, for the girls, the under-14s have a fixture against Deeside Ramblers and the under-16s face Preston. And in netball, the Manx Rams will be back in action tomorrow in the Singlife Nations Cup after all teams had a rest day today. They'll face table toppers and defending champions Kenya, who have a perfect record in the competition so far, with 4 wins out of 4. Meanwhile, the Isle of Man netball squad sits bottom of the pile with 4 defeats. Their game against Kenya will take place tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. We'll keep up to date with how the Rams are doing tomorrow. That is all from Update tonight. And as I mentioned, it's the Island Life special to mark the month of remembrance coming up next at 5:30. Lewis talks to a former prisoner of war, Celia Mead. Just a reminder, this programme will cover some issues that listeners may find upsetting, but it is incredibly moving, a real account of what she and her family went through. There'll be much more in the podcast, which you'll be able to find shortly after broadcast at manxradio.com. After that, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley from 6 p.m. Morris Powell brings us a little light music from 9, and then it's After Hours with Dave Moore from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.